Chapter 8, hear now God's very word. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuage. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him, to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass, in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. So we have the end of the flood and the exiting of Noah from the ark and his family and the animals. The narrative is very straightforward. It is written as you would expect a standard history to be written. There are days and years and months recorded in order that we may understand that we have a real event in history. This is tracked according to Noah's age. And so we understand what the durations are. We understand how long that Noah was in the ark for 365 days. We understand that the intervals of the sevens in which he sends out the birds are Sabbath days. And for those of you who need a copy of that Excel spreadsheet that I put together in 1999, we can pull that up and print it. And what it does is it numbers the months and days according to the numbering here in Genesis chapter 8, and we see that almost every significant event happened on the Sabbath day. So we have the ark coming to rest. It says that the Lord remembered Noah. It doesn't mean that he had forgotten Noah. You know, he's off doing something else. Oh yeah, I've got this guy in a boat over here, man. No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. What you have is God remembering Noah. In other words, God was mindful of Noah. That during the entire ordeal, Noah was never out of God's care. That's what it means. When we ask the Lord to remember us, doesn't mean that He has forgotten us. It means that we desire to be kept in His care. And as Noah and his family and the animals were kept in God's care during that time when they were bobbing like a cork on top of the raging waters. So the waters prevailed upon the earth for 150 days or 5 months. The ark comes to rest on or near Ararat. Notice it doesn't say that it came to rest on Mount Ararat, but in the mountains of Ararat. In other words, in that region. There have been people scouring the countryside for the remnants of the ark for many, many years now. Some say they have found it. Some say they've never seen it. Some say that everything you've heard has been a hoax. I don't know if the ark is still up there or not. I don't know if it's been, you know, assimilated into the ground by now or not. What I do know is it was there at one time. Right? I read a very interesting book a few years ago by a marine salvage expert named David Fassold. And while he's not an evangelical Christian, somewhat of a liberal, he felt he had found the boat. Then there are others who say, no, it's not down there. It's way up there in the snow and ice. I don't know. But I do know that there was a day when the sun came up and went down, that the earth dried up because the Lord caused the wind to blow over the earth, and the ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat. And Noah and his family and the animals got out, and the Lord offered a sacrifice to the Lord from the Noah offered a sacrifice to the Lord from the clean animals that he had taken with him on the ark. I know that those things happened. Whether or not that boat's still up there or not, I don't know. I don't need that to tell me that Noah's narrative is real. I have the Word of God for it. Okay, so then the sending out of the birds. 40 days of rain. Noah waits 40 days after the mountains were seen to send out the birds. Further, as he was to wait 7 days before the deluge, so here he sends out his spies, his birds, 7 days apart, signifying the sabbatical nature of early worship. The raven was sent. Why? Because it has a nose for carcasses. Right? And so it's sent out first, and it doesn't come back. Oh, I'm sorry, he does. In other words, while he found a place to eat and rest, he did return from the ark. It says he went and returned. He went and returned. So he kept coming back. He was not taken back into the ark, having found more food than he could eat. This is the reminder that this was a great judgment, that carcasses were found as food for the raven. Again, even after the flood, we are to remember the great judgment of the Lord. That's why a raven is the first bird that Noah sends. Then the dove is sent, a nesting bird, right? So if there's no place for a nest, there's no place for a human to nest. You see the parallel there. Hence she returns twice, the second time with good indication that the land is nearly habitable, but not completely, for she yet returns. Finally, she does not return, signaling the suitableness of the earth for habitation. Noah at that time removes the cover from off the ark and sees that the earth is dry and leaves the ark. Very straightforward narrative. Extremely straightforward, exactly what you would expect for a history of what's going on. Okay, there we go. All right, then we note the faith of Noah. This is the first time that it is recorded that God spoke to him since the day he was commanded to go into the ark. 365 days after he had first heard the rain falling upon the roof, he is commanded by God to leave the ark and to release the animals so that they may inhabit the earth. We don't know for a fact if the Lord spoke to Noah during that time. But we do know this, that we're not told that the Lord spoke to Noah until a 365-day interval. Wow. That's great faith, isn't it? That Noah persevered throughout that whole thing. Now, did he have much of a choice? Well, no, he didn't. He couldn't actually just, you know, park the ark and leave. But still, we see him persevering throughout the entirety of the ordeal. And it was an ordeal. It could not have been comfortable. It could not have been a winsome thing to spend that long upon the boat, being tossed about by the raging judgment outside of the boat with the animals and all that it entailed, feeding and dressing and cleaning the animals and so on, all of that throughout the whole time. But we don't hear one complaint from Noah, not one not one expression of a lack of faithfulness. The only thing we hear is the perseverance of Noah from beginning to end of the difficulty. Okay, so that's a great example to us. And then finally, the narrative ends with the sacrifice of Noah, further evidence of his faith, and the Lord's acceptance of his offering and subsequent promise, more fully cleared in the next chapter. And we'll hold off to discussing the Noahic covenant until next week. But we do have the offering of the Lord, the offering of Noah unto the Lord, and the sweet savor that the Lord smelled. Okay, now, the sweet savor, that is not because God has a nose. It is because the Lord accepted Noah's sacrifice, because it was offered faithfully. He took those clean animals that the Lord had instructed him to take, and those were the ones he offered. It's an interesting thing, right? If there are clean and unclean animals as far as sacrifice is concerned, there are clean and unclean animals as far as what? Food sources are concerned, right? Now, Noah doesn't yet know it, but he will, after he leaves the ark, be instructed that he is now free to eat flesh. That wasn't true before. Now it's true. So now, all of the clean animals, Noah is free to eat as food, right? And so here it is that Noah offers those very animals that will sustain him later, right? As an offering to the Lord. And so Noah is to learn the principle that God is his provision, that God grants to him not only the food that he eats, but his very life. It is God who has sustained him through the ordeal of judgment, and God who will sustain him going forward. It's not based on the skill of his hands. It's not based on his skill as a husbandman, a tiller of the ground. Although he becomes a vineyard owner later, that's not what feeds him. That's not what cares for him. What cares for him, and this lesson Noah should have learned, and we should have learned as well by reading through this chapter, is that it is the Lord that sustains us when everything is going south around us. When the earth is being judged, when our country is being judged, are there signs of judgment in our country? Oh, yes. How will we be preserved? By faithfulness to God's Word. That's how. So then the appendix is, it's the grace of God that keeps Noah alive. And for all the flood's destruction, God's wrath is not appeased of Adam's sin. See the depth of the wrath of God that would destroy a whole world, save eight, and yet be unquenched. Know of a certainty that if God were to mark iniquities, who could stand? And then God is pleased with proper sacrifices offered in faith. Our sacrifices are not today in animals, but ourselves, the words of thanksgiving, the offerings of the works of our hands unto the Lord. And those things are acceptable if they are done by faith. And by faith we mean what? In obedience to His revealed Word. Let's stand and continue calling upon the Lord in the singing of Psalms. Psalm